This is where we hold them! This is where we fight!
Now listening to Sweep the Rack Podcast featuring Brooklyn Rob and Big Mike.
Rob, what's good, homie?
Mike, happy Valentine's Day, February 14th. And your wife, man, letting you do the show, huh? On Valentine's Day, you didn't have big plans set up, you know, some romance.
I'm lucky, man. You know? I'm lucky, yeah. Bro. My wife is so easy in that regard. Like, if I got her nothing, even if I didn't have a card or anything, still be cool. Because, like, she just doesn't roll like that, you know. But I do meet a certain standard, you know, it's not only for my wife, but also as an example for my daughters too, and to hook my daughters up. So for my daughters, it's like a little mini Christmas today, because they get presents and this and flowers and candy. We actually went to a place called the David Bradley Chocolate Factory last Sunday. It's like a high-end chocolate place in New Jersey. And I've let them pick out whatever they wanted. $187 on chocolate. Okay, at this David Bradley Chocolate Factory. It is good chocolate, though, but
Not $108. Good so chocolate.
They got the hookup. I definitely get the white flowers and a card and, you know, a couple small little gifts. And it's the same with me, you know, a card, small little gift, and that's it. I got cupcakes this year. I just had one before we came on the air. Nice. We are live tonight, Rob, on Wednesday, not our normal night. Shout out to everybody who's going to come out tonight and hang with us. But we're live tonight because a good friend of mine, who I bowled league with in the sport league for numerous years, asked me to sub in a house league tomorrow night. So your boy is going to be bowling on the house tomorrow. I haven't thrown a ball, I think, in 3 weeks.
Already making excuses, people.
No excuses here. But, yeah, I didn't bowl last night. I have no league review for the people because I didn't bowl last night due to the weather. It was snowing out here in New Jersey yesterday, and it was, you know, I mean, it was cleared up by the time bowling went, but I drive 40 minutes to get there, and the roads that I take are somewhat treacherous. And I just, after snow blowing all day and cleaning up the property, I didn't really feel like going.
Dude, my brother's giving me advice on Valentine's Day, Mike. He says that it should be at the bar hitting on depressed single girls. I'd rather be here with you people talking bowling than hitting on some crazy-ass depressed girls at the bar, to be honest with you, on a Wednesday night. But, you know, hey, I do have a date Saturday night, so we're continuing the role here, so...
Well, that's one of the reasons we went live tonight, because we were talking about Saturday, but you were like, nah, I got plans Saturday. I was like, well, all right, if we go till Sunday, we're going to have to double up and do two shows at once, which is a lot. And the people want to hear our recap, Rob. You know, I want to get the recap out there as quickly as possible for the people. So I'm glad it worked out tonight, even though it's Valentine's Day. But yeah, no problem on my end. Obviously, no problem on your end. Rob has no Valentine's Day responsibilities that I'm aware of. So
as of now, we're just in the texting. Hey, happy Valentine's Day! Like, you know, we'll see.
Yeah,
we'll see
how this goes. That's an inexpensive phase to be in.
It's still early, so you know, I'm still way too early to start giving the, you know, the flowers and the chocolate and all that. You know, because nice guys finish last. You know that, Mike. You gotta like not be too crazy. Not you can't like give the farm out in the first like month, Mike.
Steph says he got his lady a card with a purple hammer on it that said "all this thing and I still want to bang only you." It's pretty good. It's pretty good. Weekend hacker saying Bet Rivers should put up an over under on Big Mike really series should. Tomorrow they on
should.
House.
Yeah. I'll tell you what the over and under should be. You ready? I'm going to say,
I already know. I know exactly.
I'll say, I'll say 657.
Nah, it should be about 638.
Ooh, wow. You're setting yourself up low for a house.
Yeah, it should be about 638. I mean, yeah.
Oh, over. We're going to talk about Mike pissing off Walter Ray. Gem Sesh in the chat says, Big Mike pissed off Walter Ray on Twitter today. He did.
I did. I didn't mean to. I don't ever mean to piss off the goat of goats. I mean, nothing but respect, dude, and love for the goat
Nico
of goats.
Nico has you over and under at 620.
Nico, come on. Show some respect, Nico.
Greg Tack, my love for you is greater than my love for one-to-one oil patterns. You know,
that would be an adept card for me anyway.
I like my women how I like my patterns flat.
Oh boy. All right, can we get off the Valentine's Day connections to bowling, please?
Yeah, oh my god, how funny is that?
All right, so Rob, no league review. You're injured, so we know that you're out for a while. I'll have a league review. I'll have a league review the next episode we do, because I'll be bowling tomorrow night. And yeah, hopefully next Tuesday I'm back at the Sport League. It's been a couple weeks. I forget why I couldn't make it last. Oh yeah, that's right. I couldn't make it last week because of I don't really want to mention it on here, but it was a personal obligation that I had to take care of, so I wasn't able to go last week either.
Dude, but Kevin Herrera says that Walter Ray's gonna pitch a horseshoe at Mike's head, and you know he won't miss either.
I feel you. I feel you. I know he's gonna wrap it right around my dome, son.
Yeah, I feel like if there was ever like a video game and Walter Ray was a character, like he'd be throwing like horseshoes. They would come back to him.
We're gonna touch on Walter Ray putting me in my place later when we get into the Pete Weber Classic from this week, right? But first tonight, we wanted to not only get into some recent PBA news that we came across that I feel like and Rob feels like is somewhat significant, and I think we'll kick off with that. But we also wanted to review the last event as well, the Illinois Open. So. We're going to do those two things first, then we're going to get into this week's event. We'll talk a little bets and what we have in and what we're looking at for the rest of the week. But just to tease why the goat of goats came at me on Twitter today, it's because I criticized this week's format as the most boring format in bowling. Okay, and I'm sorry. I know the goat of goats disagrees with me clearly, but I have to stand behind my opinion, and I will talk more about that later on as we get into the tournament for this week. But Rob, let's go back to last week, because there was another PBA title awarded, and a third PBA title of the season.
Nope,
and it went to Marshall Kent.
Yeah, it was a crazy last few games of match play. There was so many what if scenarios because of that one rule they threw in where the highest seed who doesn't win makes the show, and it threw for like six different scenarios. And I remember Tom Hess reading through the scenarios during the last like round of matches, and it was just like, holy crap, like there's so much different things that could happen.
Yeah, it was a lot to follow in that last round.
It was
a lot to follow. I'm not so sure that I'm a fan of the highest seed gets the last spot.
Should it be total pinfall? But then how are you going to do that? Maybe qualifying of what seed they qualified at? That's what they did, isn't it?
Yeah, that's what they
did. What's wrong with it then? What's wrong with it?
I'd have to give it some thought. But I don't know. It just made for so many different scenarios.
So I'm going to pull this comment because this was big. There has been some back and forth on the internet. Nico in the chat's asking, so you think it's fair that somebody scores more than their opponent in the best of seven, but loses the match? Yeah, man, that's match play. Do you know how many times that I would go to the high roller and I would bowl 250 and lose, or 230 and lose, and then the guy left of me bowled 140 and won his match? It's a lot of it. It's luck of the draw. It is, and that's completely. Best of seven, best of any match play you bowl at any time. It's just luck of the draw, but you still got to beat your opponent. And the pros understand that. It's not their first time bowling like heads up match play. So yeah, I don't think that it's not fair. I don't think it's not fair at all. EJ Tackett, he crushed him. If this tournament was last week, the same format, he would have led by like what, like 400 or 500 pins, probably. And then he ended up, you know, making the show in the fifth seat when he probably should have been the first seat. But my like argument to that would be, then he should have struck in that last shot to beat Peters to get to the number one seat. Like he was up, he had the chance to win, and he didn't do it. So that's just how it goes, and that's the breaks when you bowl heads up match play like that. And I love it. I love that format. And it, look what happened this show, Mike. It was the first show where you get to see all one handers. I think that it hasn't been like that in years. I think it was years the last time one handers. You got to see a lot of some new faces, right? Like you know, or faces we haven't seen in a while, right? I mean, you know, Lavery Spar made it. Marshall Kent, you know, made it. Obviously, AJ Johnson. Like, I mean, these are guys that we haven't seen in a while. So the format definitely brought in a lot of new faces. Well, old faces, I should say, or people that we're not used to seeing.
Well, it mixed it up. It mixed it up, I think, is what you're saying, right?
Right, yeah.
It was a little bit outside the norm, right? And
right.
Listen, Nico, I understand that in its purest form, bowling is about who knocks down the most pins. I get that, right? But I'm not looking at it from that perspective, man. I'm looking at it from the entertainment perspective. I'm looking at it from the betting perspective. I'm looking at it from all the people who subscribe to Bowl TV and are watching at home on the internet on a Friday night or a Thursday night, and what they want to see to be entertained, you know. And listen, and again, we'll get into it later. I'm not going to get deep into it now, but with that said, this format that they're running this week, it's boring. It might be pure from the player's perspective, and I understand that, but it's probably the least entertaining format that we could have as fans, and more consideration has to be given to that.
Correct. You know,
why did Major League Baseball put a pitch clock in? You know, do you think the players really love the pitch clock? I mean, I'm sure some of them are okay with it, but I'm sure there's others who don't like it very much at all. But they put it in because the games were so long that people didn't want to watch them. They were losing viewership. They were losing fans. Right. So at times you have to adjust what you're doing in the format of the game to appeal to the fans, you know. And in this case, the betting is just, forget it. Like, it's, you know, I don't know what Bet Rivers is going to do as this tournament goes on to try and come up with some bets other than this player versus that player. But last week, oh my God, like betting dream, parlaying matches with plus 1.5 games. I mean, over under how many games the match is going to, it was amazing. It was amazing. It was like everything I had always envisioned, in terms of sitting at home on the internet, watching bowling and betting on it.
So I got a question, because I'm just thinking about this and I could be completely off, but when you go to stepladder finals, and that's pretty much a mostly every PBA show, right? There's been a stepladder finals, regardless of what the qualifying was. It's obviously that it's the most entertaining when there's matches, heads up matches, right? So is it fair if someone leads by 600 pins at the US Open for 48 games and then has to bowl a one game match for the title? I mean, isn't that like almost similar to what, like, people, like, what the complaints are? Oh, well, you know, like, he bowled, he led by 500, and then he ended up having to bowl one game match for a title. Like, and then, you know, I think someone threw out a comparison to you, Mike, on the a while ago with the golf. Someone made a golf comparison, right?
Yeah, it was Walter Ray.
It was Walter Ray. For me, it's like, well, then it's, if you're making a golf comparison, then there should never be a stepladder at all. This should just be maybe a couple games of them bowling on TV, and then whoever has the highest pinfall total would win on TV. And how boring would that be? Could you imagine EJ tack it up 400 pins and he bowls two extra games, and then they just give him the title? Like, to me, there's a reason why there's a stepladder finals, right? Because it's more entertaining. And I mean,
has match play not been a part of bowling? To your point, Rob, about the stepladder always being a traditional part of it.
Always.
Has match play not been a traditional part of bowling like since the beginning of the PBA tour.
Yeah, it's always been part of the PBA tour since I've been watching as a kid. But then all of a sudden people have a problem with it because, you know, people who aren't scoring the most total pins aren't winning the tournaments. Well, that's the case for a lot of different tournaments, to be honest with you. How many times have people led the tournament by 500 pins and they lost in the stepladder in the final match? So there is definitely a match play, you know, history of the PBA, and that's always just the way it's going to be. But I'll be honest with you, Mike. The best 4-7 match play was the most invested I've ever been in a bowl TV stream. Most invested I've ever been watching on my computer.
No question.
And it comes to a sense. It comes to a point where the pros have to like check their egos and say, okay, what is the most entertaining product we can put out for the fans? Right.
Well, that perfect transition to me telling Eric Espinoza here, you're going to get worse of the week, Eric, if you keep it up in the chat like this. He says, tourneys are not for fans' entertainment. Only certain bowlers like watching qualifying. They're not there to entertain us. Yes, they are. Yes, they are. The product is there.
It's entertainment.
To entertain us.
100%. So
I mean, that's how you're going to grow the sport, Eric.
Yeah,
by providing something that's entertaining, drawing in people who aren't a regular part of it, but become a regular part of it because they were entertained by it in some way. Right. Yeah, so
if it's on TV, if it's a sport, it's got to be entertaining, like to bring in sponsors that bring in money, that then bring in fans, that then bring in more players. That it just, I don't get that. I disagree with that too.
Yeah, Nico making the golf comparison here, you know, about Tiger leading the tournament by 5 shots and then, you know, go play one more round Monday. Well, it wouldn't even be a round, right, Nico? It would be maybe 2 holes or something. Go play 3 holes to decide the winner, even though you beat them by 5 shots over 4 rounds. But can I just make a point about golf? I think it's a bad comparison in this
case. It is a bad comparison.
Okay, all right. And to me, it's a bad comparison because – and I'm not a golf fan. I told Walter Ray on Twitter, the only time I watch golf is when I want to take a nap on a Sunday afternoon. Okay. So that's why I think Ryder, about golf.
But isn't the Ryder Cup the most entertaining golf event? And that's because
right.
it's
because
like
of match play. Right.
Right.
So in golf, a lot of times, even though it's done the way it's done with the total scores carried over 4 rounds, it inevitably turns out many times in golf that I turn it on and take a look at it anyway, that, you know, first and second place are grouped closely together, or first through fourth are grouped closely together, or maybe there's even 5 or 6 guys that have a shot on a Sunday when they come on with the broadcast. Whereas in bowling, honestly, Nico, if we did it that way all the time, at best, I feel like it would come down to 2 players where one guy is chasing another from second to first.
So I want to put Theo's comment up here because I have just one comment. Can we stop comparing bowling to golf? Those guys are playing for millions. Bowlers are playing to afford Texas Roadhouse. My question to you, Theo, is why are you shooting strays at Texas Roadhouse? My man, those rolls that apple butter are fire, man. I don't know why Texas Roadhouse all of a sudden is taking strays. All right, Mike, let's go talk about the
let's do it. So Marshall Kent was the winner. We're going to go through our regular rundown here, right?
Yeah.
Let's run the ladder here, Rob. Let's start by running the ladder here and discuss these matches. First match was EJ Tackett versus Jake Peters. Jake Peters emerges victorious in that match. Betting-wise in that match, Rob, I had Jake Peters straight up money line. I had Jake Peters plus 9.5 because I thought that was extremely generous. Bet Rivers
smart
that. And the over in that match. The first two hit, the over did not hit.
Can I be critical of EJ in this match?
Oh.
I think he just started with the wrong ball. I think he was too quick with that Venom Shock. I think if he would have been able to use something maybe a little bit smoother, that it maybe helped him. That wasn't as skid snappy. I did think that he just didn't make a lot of good shots. He was missing left. And you know, when we've seen it before on EJ on the show, when he is bowling and his ball isn't able, if he doesn't have a little bit of room to miss in, like when he goes through the nose, he doesn't leave nine counts. Like my man leaves like 3-6-10s and 3-6-9-10s and
big splits. He left a four count in the second frame of this game.
Yo, my guy.
Then he went 3-6-7-10 in like the fifth frame, I think.
I mean, it's funny because if you're ever going to ask me on who to predict on a TV show on the first match, it's Jake Peters would probably, he's great the way he throws the ball. It's the fresh is probably where he is a lot better. Let me say something here, though. I really do believe if EJ won the number one seed, if he would have beat Peters in that match to get to the number one seed, I think that EJ would have ended up winning the tournament because his look on the TV pair would have been so much better the last match than he did the first match.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I don't know about that. AJ Johnson had a pretty good look later in the show that I don't know. I mean, but it's funny you say that about EJ because one of my notes here, Rob, was the old EJ showed up.
Oh, yeah.
The old EJ like showed up him on the show, like making subpar shots, you know, spraying it a little bit. And can I give a hot take on this show as a whole? And I might catch heat for this one, but that's all right. I'm willing to stand behind it. Motive had three guys on this show. Okay. EJ Tackett, AJ Johnson, and SLS. Okay. At least one point in all of their appearances on this show, they looked somewhat lost on the lanes. Okay.
Okay.
I mean, and I'm going to take that further to the last match where AJ Johnson coming off of bowling two games on the pair gets lost again for the second time in three games. And Marshall Kent is able to bowl a so-so game and win the title, shutting them out before the 10th is even bowled. Here's my hot take. I think that you know, Brett Spangler is not doing a good enough job getting these guys set up on the show. To have three bowlers and all three of them at one point look somewhat lost. I don't know. To me, that you don't see that a lot. You don't see that a lot from Storm. You don't see that a lot from the Brunswick guys. You know, to the contrary, Marshall Kent's coming in and bowling one game, and they got him set up with something where, you know, he had a little bit of room. If he executed a shot, it was going to be a strike. And you know, he had a little forgiveness. It was almost like they set him up with just enough to go out and be able to win. You know, and he was coming in fresh off on that pair. Whereas AJ's coming in after bowling two games already on that pair. And he's the one who doesn't see the transition coming. And he's the one who gets lost in that game for a decent portion of the game. Now I know he was amped up a little bit, and that's one of my points about him in the next match and throughout this show is that it seemed like he's just juiced up on these shows and he's throwing it hard, and Randy kept pointing that out. But I mean, you know, to have three guys on the show and at some point each one of them looks somewhat lost, that doesn't say much to me.
Yeah, I think there was a lot of nerves first with SLS. I think he was absolutely nervous. And once he started to get settled in a little bit at the end of the game, he was able to kind of find it. So I think nerves played a big part. I also think nerves played a big part in AJ at certain times in those three matches. You know, especially the final match. I mean, this kid is bowling in front of his hometown. He's got his home crowd, his family, his friends, his pregnant wife in the stands. I feel like there was a lot of nerves there. I do. And I feel like even in the final match, there was just a lot of some errant shots that you might not see someone like Anthony Simonson or, you know, Belmo make because of just all the experience and TV time that they've had in their careers. I think AJ has a lot to prove in his own. I think he thinks he has a lot to prove. I don't think he's got to prove anything to me. He's already got a title and he's, you know, shown that he could win, but I think he wanted to prove it. And I think he put a lot of extra pressure on himself. I do. So I'm not sure if I'm going to like blame it on Motive and Brett and whatever. I think that if EJ would have been able to get a good reaction and get comfortable early, I think EJ had a really good chance to actually run this ladder. I do.
He did, though. He did. He was lost in the beginning. Let's wait until we get to that match. Let's wrap up. Okay. I have a couple comments here that I want to bring up. Aaron says, ooh, I thought you was going to go there. Is Venom Shock all they got these days? That's all that's ever on the show, seems like. Aaron, can I make a point based off your comment? What are they doing throwing other balls other than the purple ball? Like, what are you doing? What are you doing? Okay? Like, AJ starts with the other ball on the right lane. Then he goes to the purple shock. It looks great. SLS, am I wrong that he started with something different and then went to the purple shock?
On one lane.
And then later on, AJ Johnson gets lost again. Okay. So just to wrap up the Peters EJ match, right? It was evident early on in that match that Peters was going to win, right? EJ had two splits through six frames.
EJ just didn't,
he didn't have it. Right. Exactly. We both said the same thing at the same time. He just didn't have it. Right. So, okay. Hit on a couple bets there. We go to the next match, AJ and Jake. In this match, I had the over and Jake plus 9.5. Both of those hit. Jake lost, but I actually needed him to get up and throw all three in the 10th to hit the over by, I think, one pin or two pins. And he did.
And he did.
So both of those hit. Here's some notes I had on this match. AJ had the wrong ball on the right lane to start. Right. And my question was, how do you choose that other ball when the purple ball looked so good on that lane when he went to it? Once he went to the Venom Shock on that right lane, it looked great. Like, I don't, how do you start with that other ball when that ball looked that good?
So
the Crimson Jackal,
yeah,
it looked like the Crimson Jack shit.
Yeah.
Okay. Because it didn't have Jack shit. He missed the head pin. He split early on. I mean,
Mike, let me ask you a question. I want to ask you something, and I'm being honest, and this is a super honest question. Is there something that they're trying to prove that other balls they have work? You know what I mean? Like, is there like, hey, let's use this different ball to show everybody that we have other balls that actually work? You know what I mean? Is that what's going on? Like, why are they choosing? I don't know. I'm asking that question because it's obvious that they should have been throwing the purple at least after the first match. I don't think EJ should have been throwing that in the first match, to be honest with you. I said that. But after the first match, I think they definitely should have been throwing it. And they were throwing it all week, at least when I was watching most of it.
All week. You know?
The Venom Shock is a top five, if not top three, greatest ball ever made. Performance ball, you could definitely put it in the top ever. I don't think, to me, there's another performance ball that you could say maybe in the lifespan of performance was a better ball. Like, how long that ball's being made and how good it is.
Yeah, I agree. I'm just saying that ball's so good that to me it needs to be their first option and then their second option. Okay. Their first option and then their second option. And if they can't get it to work as a second option, then maybe go to something else.
Eric, I don't see the high road being thrown today. I haven't seen the high road in years on TV. Maybe Belmo threw it a while back, but when was the last time you've seen a high road on TV? Like, I'm just saying, like, the Venom Shock has been on every time Motive makes the TV show, that's usually with a Venom Shock. So I don't know. I don't think there's a ball better, but that's not a debate I want to get into right now.
All time. Here's another observation I made in this match that I thought rang true for a lot of this show, and that was that AJ Johnson was never really able to close things out. He had a lot of opportunities in this show to really apply max pressure to his opponents and really, for all intents and purposes, close them out, and he just kept giving them opportunities to remain in the game and remain in the game.
Do you think it was nerves? You think he was nervous? Like, he would just had a lot of nerves?
I don't know. I personally, I'd have to say no. But I do think, and if you're going to say this is nerves, that's fine. I would kind of agree with that too. But he just seems really jacked up on the show. Did anybody else notice that he didn't want to sit down? Did anybody else notice that during the show? Like, I'm watching the show, and he's going in the back, and he's sitting on the arm of the chair. And like, he doesn't even want to sit down. So like,
it's a lot of pressure on himself, Mike. He's feeling, I really believe
he's feeling immense amounts of adrenaline. And he's out there, you know, as we know, just a little bit of extra juice. And you know, that could be the difference, right? And
I'm going to put this because my brother has a good comment. Until he can control his nerves, he won't be able to throw a pure shot. His feet get fast and his timing gets thrown off. And I completely and 100% agree with that. And I mean, I understand that because I've admittedly been on the show talking about how, like, I have nerves when I bowl. And it's to the truth, if you're able to not relax and you can't relax, you can't be physically able to perform and beat some of these guys who, like I said, like a Simon or a Belmo. I mean, you watch a Belmo on TV and he is as relaxed as it gets. I mean, there isn't anybody that could say that this guy is like nerves. And then if you watched AJ, I mean, you can tell like he was feeling it. And who blames him? If that was me and I was on TV and I was in front of my family, friends, and my, you know, pregnant girlfriends in the front row, and I have one title that was not on TV, and this is, could you imagine like your first TV title, Mike, would be in your home city, or I'm home city, home state, and everybody is watching. It's like a dream come true, and you put a lot of pressure on yourself.
Yeah, but at a certain point, I mean, he's been on a lot of shows now, Robin, and he does have one title, despite the fact that it was overseas and not on U.S. soil. But at a certain point, you know, you got to learn to get over that, and you got to find a way to deal with that. You know, Aaron in the chat, joking around, said, homeboy needs to meditate or do some yoga. I'll be honest with you, Andrew, I actually feel the opposite, and I think that perhaps AJ, instead of taking the approach that a lot of players do and really trying to remain calm on the show and stay in the moment, and oh, you know, don't get too up or down. I actually think my man needs to let it go a little bit. I do. I think he needs to go out there, let his emotions flow, get loud, get hype, ride the roller coaster. Because if he gets it going up, I think it's going to keep going up. You know, and him trying to be too even keel, I don't think it works for him. You know, I picture him more as like a Jason Couch type player, where, you know, when he's in that zone and he's locked in and focused and he's riding that wave of positivity, he's just going to be really hard to beat. You know,
I think the only way for him to be able to calm down is just for him to keep making shows and to get like experience, keep making shows. I mean, we've seen it so many times where some of the best in the world, guys like Chris Barnes, even Bill, like guys like that, who didn't really have a whole lot of success a lot early their careers on TV. EJ Tackett is another one. He didn't have a lot of success. He would lose a lot. Walter Ray lost a lot on TV, Mike. I mean, you could pull his record up. It's tough, and it takes a lot of shows and a lot of experience to finally be able to get your nerves down. You know what I mean? So
no doubt. If I'm him, I would go out and try a different approach. To me, in that match, Rob, Jake was in it until the fifth frame when AJ switched balls on the right lane. And then from there, it was pretty clear to me that AJ was going to run away with the match.
Yeah. I like Jake's game too. He looked calm as hell.
Yeah, he couldn't find a way to get 10 out.
I know. And he
just couldn't find a way.
Yeah. It's too bad because I think Jake if he was able to move left and get the ball quicker, open up his angles a little bit, I think he might have had some success. And, you know, it's easier said than done watching. Like, hey, you need to do this. But when you're there doing it, it's, you know, harder.
Yeah, and even in that game, in the 10th frame, AJ gets up, and he's pretty much in control of the match. He just needs a mark, right? And what does he do? He throws his worst shot of the game. He crosses over, almost crosses over, goes through the face, and gets lucky and leaves a 7-pin. It was fortunate. Yeah, it was fortunate to only leave the 7-pin on that shot. But,
was it 7 or 10? I thought it was a 10.
10-pin. I think you're right. Yeah it was 10, not a 7. Sorry. And he was fortunate to just leave that. And, you know, I kind of felt that went with the theme of, like, him not really being able to close out
these matches. He'll get there. He just needs experience. He needs experience on TV, Mike.
Okay. So Johnson moves on to bowl SLS, right? I only bet the over in this game. Yeah, obviously it didn't hit because they were both struggling a little bit in this game. Yeah, probably. You're right.
Transition.
You're right. You know, it's so hard for me to bet the under because it seems like every game has a chance to go over until the 9th frame or 10th frame. So, It's just very hard for me to take the under with the numbers that they are putting up there. Two opens in the first three frames for SLS.
Nerves.
And it was over early, right? That's what it was looking like. He made a little bit of a run, and he then did. He gets up in that seventh frame, okay? And that kind of put an end to it. He said it himself, you know, effing awful, he said, I believe. And then just awful, dropped, he repeated a few times, right? Yeah, that was a pretty ugly shot, right? So a little looked like there might have been a little bit of a footing issue there as well. You know, we've all been there. It sucks, you know.
Yeah,
to throw a bad shot in that position where listen. I love seeing shots like that because to me that shows how hard they are and it shows how good these guys are to be able to go out.
I'm going to say the same thing about SLS as I said about AJ is you have a chip on your shoulder, right? You have a lot to prove. PBA draft, right? He wanted to prove it. He put a lot of pressure on himself.
You credit everything to nerves, but like. These guys bowl for a living. I mean, don't think that if they had a better, more confident ball reaction, that the nerves wouldn't be such an issue?
Oh, ball reaction. It makes the nerves a lot easier, but you still have to physically throw the ball.
Thank you.
I mean, if you got a good ball reaction, it loosens up the swing. But if your nerves, you still can't physically bowl like the way you need to against the best in the world on the national stage. You still have to physically execute. And the lanes weren't, you know, so that easy. They weren't. You missed left, it was gone. The ball was crossing over. I mean, we saw how many times these guys missed in and the ball went dead through the face. Yeah, they had a lot of room to the right, but there was a lot of transition happening too. So if they missed right, there was a lot of two pins, two 8-10s. I mean, they weren't that easy. So it was definitely a grind on a lot of those games, honestly, I think. But nerves, SLS was nervous, bro. He was. Like, I am blaming a lot of nerves on this show. I had a lot of anxiety watching these guys.
I think ball reaction is a great cure for nerves. I mean,
SLS
takes two timeouts, you know, during the match. He goes back to talk to Spangler twice, you know, about what's going on with the lanes and whatnot. So, I don't know. Just didn't seem like he had a real good picture out there.
Robert, I don't need to ask Tom. I don't need to Facebook Tom Clark to know that he probably got fined for that F-bomb. There's no doubt in my mind.
Despite the fact that SLS struggled early in this game, right? Again, AJ really struggled in this game, again, to put away his opponent. He goes 3-6-10 in the seventh, okay, on a bad shot where he missed by four, right? Randy was, like, incredulous. Randy's like, he missed by four! And John Fancy's is like, well, Randy, these lanes are challenging. And Randy's like, no, John, to miss by four as a professional is a lot.
Okay, Randy's very critical of AJ.
Goddamn right, Randy.
Randy's, if you listen to that show, Randy's very critical of AJ. He's a lot more critical of AJ than he is with a lot of other pros. I noticed that.
He goes 3-6-10 in the seventh, and then the same thing in the ninth, and he misses it. And then he gets kind of lucky in the tenth where he gets it right, and he didn't even look like he thought it was going to come back, and it comes back, and he gets the mixer.
It didn't look like it.
So, like, Big struggles for him, you know, closing people out. And I felt like he was very fortunate to get through that match. You know, SLS gave him a lot in that match, and he still struggled to close it out. They mentioned in that match, SLS, 13 years on tour and only two TV shows. I mean, man, you want to talk about a grind. You want to talk about somebody who's dedicated to the life, to the game. I mean, 13 years and two TV shows. My hat's off to you, my man, just for being out there, just for having the stick-to-itiveness.
I don't know what finances. I know what he's doing. What is he doing to make? That would be my question. I like to get the Brof brothers on the show and talk to them and see like what they're doing. I think they look like cool guys that I would like have a beer with if I seen them at the bar. You know what I mean?
No doubt. Yeah. So can we talk for a minute in this match? Can I go off the rails for a minute here? About that. I liked how SLS actually, like when he wanted to take the timeout, he actually gave the timeout symbol. Oh, he walked over and he was like, right after he threw the shot, he was like, timeout, timeout. And it reminded me of like a football coach, like running up to the ref, like timeout, timeout, timeout. We need the timeout. And I really like that. And I want to talk about the timeouts for a second. Okay.
Okay.
I like the timeouts. I do.
I like the timeouts. I do.
Okay.
I do.
But
like it.
I need a little more. All right. I need a little more. Okay. Okay. I need a longer timeout. Mm-hmm. All right. And then when the timeout happens, just like in other sporting events, I need hypeness around the timeout. I need the music to come on bumping. I need the MC to get out on the lanes and be like, let's go.
No, let's not
pump everybody up, get the whole place rock. No, listen. This is why I would make it better, because then the timeout in bowling would become a strategic thing. You know, it's like when you really want to rattle your opponent, they're rattled, they're on the edge of being rattled. You take that timeout, you go have that conversation with your ball rep. And while that's happening, the place is just madness. It's just going wild. And your opponent's just sitting there, just, you know, in their own thoughts. I mean, I need that.
That reminds me of like when the head coach is running to the ref calling a timeout. Like, that's what I would be running over to, like, whoever the person is in charge of the timeouts and just be like just yelling. But I do think there is a suggestion that if Tom Clark is listening to the show, and this was brought up, this wasn't my idea, I'm not taking credit for this idea, but I do think I saw this on Facebook. I'm not sure who said this, to be honest with you. But I think we do need to see the time clock on the show. We need to have visibility to the clock. The bowlers can see it. The crowd can see it. It's pretty standard. But I mean, I remember when Tom was on our show and he was talking about the time clock, and he's like, well, other sports have it, you know? So yeah, other sports, but the fans could actually see with the time clock. So if you're going that route, Tom, if you're going that route and you want to try to be like other sports with a shot clock, it would be cool if the fans on TV could actually see the time clock. So I think that they need to bring that to the show. It isn't my idea. I saw that on Facebook.
Yeah, somebody put that up.
Yeah.
All right. So we get Johnson Kent in the final, and you know, I already gave my hot take on this match, and I feel like Kent won because of the look that his ball reps were able to put him in, you know, or that he, I should probably more aptly state it as the look that he and his ball reps selected for him to use, because it was something that allowed him to stay clean, stay out of trouble, wasn't going to shoot 260, but was going to have a chance to get enough to win this game. And that's exactly what he did. He made his spares, he stayed clean, and he got up in the 9th and 10th frame with a chance to execute and throw some shots to win this game and win this title. And to his credit, he was able to do that.
So I've been critical of Marshall before on TV, and I mean, fairly so. I think if you asked Marshall about his performances on previous shows on TV, he would probably agree with it, that it was never really his best performance, especially when he was under like clutch or pressure situations. I think Marshall has always kind of been that bowler where he's been pretty close, and he's won titles, but lately, right, where he's been close and then maybe throws a bad shot, or just even on the league shows and stuff. Like, I don't think he's been great.
Misses
but
a credit spare.
Credit is credit. Credit to where credit is due. When it came down to the time to make the shots to win the title, Mike, he was perfect. He made unbelievable shots. Those last 3 to 4 shots, he made it when he needed it. And you know, his confidence after that is going to be sky high, and I feel like we're going to see a better Marshall Kent this year. Honestly, like
we already have, no doubt. To your point, Rob, I wouldn't be surprised to see him continue. I wouldn't be surprised to see him more in the hunt this year.
Yep.
So shout to Marshall Kent on the win, $25,000, another title. Shout to him. Rob, let's go through our awards here. Where you want to go first?
Let's go with let's ride with and not ride with.
All right. Who you riding with?
You know, I was going back and forth with this, and I could have put AJ Johnson in ride with and not ride with. I could have stated cases for both awards.
An argument can be made for both, yes.
For both. But I put him in the ride with because look, my man was almost really got close to a title in front of his hometown. His girlfriend's due in a few weeks. He's, you know, I think he finally broke out on TV a little bit, even though, you know, he did have his struggles. He made it to the finals, right? Whatever, however he did it, he did it. And he almost won. And I think he's going to ride that momentum. And he's got nothing but great things on his car ride home to, like, feed off of from this tournament as a whole, right? So I'm going to ride with him.
You wouldn't have any concerns about possibly having to deliver a child on the road in the backseat of the car?
No, because I think that would be a story in itself. I think if we were already in the car, then it would probably be a quick ride to the nearest hospital if we did. And I think that would be even a more amazing experience to be with AJ to witness his you know, first child or first son. So I get what you're saying, though.
My ride with would be Jason Sterner this week.
Okay.
Jason Sterner, top 10 finish. You know, I almost could give him milk carton, I felt like. I didn't go in that direction for milk carton, but he, you know, been a little bit since I've seen him make a run of this nature. And I just, you know, hip-hop guy, Henny guy, seems like somebody I would vibe with. When I looked through the list, I was like, you know what? I'm probably riding with my man. We're probably getting a nice meal. He's probably going to be in a good mood.
I want to go practice.
He practices a lot.
I want to go practice with Sterner. That would be my ask if I was to go practice with Sterner to just see how many hours and how long I could practice with him. Because he's got some crazy amount of work ethic when it comes to his practice sessions.
All right, you're not riding.
Oh, who am I not riding with? I am not riding.
You want me to go? You want me to go?
No, I can go. I'm not riding with Kyle Troop, Mike. After a U.S. Open title to finish 51st, come on, you just won the U.S. Open.
I'll be honest, I ain't worried about it.
You think he was just kind of whatever this tournament? Yeah. He was kind of nah, but dude, you want to win Player of the Year after U.S. Open? You don't want to mentally check out and give a tournament back, right? You want to keep the momentum, right?
I hear you. I think that's such a 51st though, Mike. That, you know, I can write that off as, you know, I was still unfocused from my celebration.
The thing about Kyle, though, is I'll be honest, in bowling. I think about Kyle is, I think, regardless of what place he finishes, I think if you ride with him or go somewhere with him, you're going to have fun. He seems like a guy that doesn't take his aggression outside the lanes. If he bowls bad, he's probably still really cool.
He's an every week ride with, right?
But why shouldn't it see Nico? I'm gonna argue here. He's got 100,000 reasons why 51st doesn't matter to him. No, trust me. If you're a top of your game and you're a professional athlete, you don't want to be in 51st, and it should matter to him. I'm gonna completely disagree with you. You think Kyle would come on and you think he would admit and say, "Oh yeah, I didn't really care. I just came off $100,000." And no, trust me, he wanted to ride it. And I think in bowling, Mike, how many times have we seen bowlers win one tournament and continue that momentum the next five, six, seven shows where they're making shows consistently? The 1-3 pocket becomes big, right? It becomes huge. We've seen it with a lot of players that they're riding most. So 51st after the US Open, that one of the hardest tournaments, it was disappointing.
Okay. I'm not riding with AJ Chapman.
You got hard on AJ Chapman.
My man beats Kevin McCune. Okay.
Yeah.
Beats Kevin McCune over in a 7-game match crossing over. So you feel like he got life. Did. Then he goes and he bowls worse in the next match. Okay. So it had to be tough.
He missed the five pin.
He missed the five pin and fouled in the first five frames of a game in a best of seven.
But he was in the crowd, so he was watching. So
I hear you. I would not want to ride in that car. I feel like that would be a tough ride. All right, okay, since Mayan is kind of backed up on this one, let's go to Spare Shootah.
Okay,
Shootah. I think there's an obvious one here.
Okay, go for it.
But it's not where I went.
I don't know.
Yeah, you don't like this? I love this award.
Because I don't like if no one misses a spare on the show. I mean,
yeah, you don't. You got to watch the show closer, bro. The easiest example was SLS. Okay. First frame, what's he do? Goes up and leaves the 2-8 and misses it. Okay.
Right.
So you give AJ Johnson, who already was jacked up, already has every reason in the world to be nervous, you give him an opportunity to get up there and relax. So I'll give that one to you. Here's mine. Kevin McCune. Okay. Make a spare, bro.
Oh, he missed the bench right in his match.
Make a spare against AJ Chapman, and you're probably bowling on the show. Okay. Make a spare, bro. All right. Like, love your game. Love your game. Strap City, bro. But come on, Hoss. Make a spare. Too many missed spares. Too many missed spares there. He gets my spare shootah award for the week. All right, let's go. I see you, Hoss.
I think SLS getting to the show. I think he beat Belmo too on the way there.
He did.
So
only choice this week.
I see you, Hoss. SLS. See you, man. Hoss. Good job. Good bowling, bro.
Nice run, bro. Nice run. Dumpster diving gold medal.
Oh, it's for the third week in a row. My man's got the trifecta of dumpster diving. Ryan Simonelli. Dude, my man, he's 3 weeks in a row. He's won dumpster dive. What did he finish this week? Hold on, wait. I have it right here. My man finished. Let me go scroll all the way down here. He finished 62nd out of 64, Mike. Yeah.
I'm going with Brad Miller. We're going with Brad Miller. Now, I wrote this before he bowled the block this morning that he bowled, and he bowled really well. He did. He's showing signs of life here this week. But
dude, that's solid, dude. Ryan's not even bowled, so he doesn't want to win full dumpster diving 4 weeks in a row, man.
when I saw where Brad Miller finished last week, I wrote this down again before he bowled this morning. And I said, I think things are getting to a point where I might be able to beat him in a PBA block.
Wait, what? Wait, say that again?
Like, I feel like after last week, I felt like if I put some work in, I might be able to beat Brad Miller in a PBA block.
Maybe if Mike had a ball rep and Mark Baker and all kinds of people telling him where to throw it and what ball he used, maybe he'd be able to.
Fair point. Outscore. If it's an even playing field, fair point.
Yeah.
Okay, let's go. Only one left. Milk carton.
Oh, Nathan Bohr is my milk carton.
Good one. Yeah. I like it.
Good for Nathan Bohr, man. You know, and they were talking on the show about or the stream when I was watching that this format is more prone to guys like Nathan Bohr to make the show than maybe a format that we're seeing this week, right? At the Weber Missouri Open or Classic or whatever it is. He had a good run. He's another one who's been on tour for a really long time. I don't know how many years it is, and how many shows is he? I don't think, has he made a show, Nathan? Or
I think without he has, the league? Yeah. He's definitely made a couple shows.
Yeah. So he's another one that's been out there for a while that's been grinding hard, Mike. And keep in mind, I bowled with Nathan in college. I mean, he wasn't on my team. He bowled for Wichita. So I've known Nathan since I was bowling against him in college. And he's always been a good bowler. And he's a great dude. He's a great kid. Always a nice, always respectful, never a bad thing to say about Nathan Bohr. So love his game too. Really, always been
fundamentally
a really good
sound.
Yeah. Oh,
fundamentally
you
sound.
Know, yeah. So you like, you know, it, I think he's one of those type of bowlers where the two handers, you know, and the resurgence, or the not resurgence, but the growth of two handed bowling. And you hurt him in a weird way, right? Because it went from being a shot maker tour, which what Nathan is, to a like overpower tour, right? And Nathan is definitely not an overpower type player. He's a shot maker. No. So,
no doubt. My milk carton this week was Ronnie Russell.
Okay.
Ronnie Russell. Been a minute since I've seen Ronnie make a run, made match play, made a little bit of a run, made it interesting. So shout to Ronnie Russell.
Yeah, shout to Ronnie.
Special mentions here, Rob. Just some things I thought while watching the show. Why so many players in the crowd?
Support people that haven't been on the show a lot.
Okay.
You know, S hasn't been on the show a lot. AJ Johnson hasn't been on a lot of shows, you know, and there was you know, they were just probably trying
to. So they were all showing love.
For sure. 100%.
Okay. No doubt. John Fanta found Randy's line about barely struck. At one point, there was an ad for Bear, and Randy was like, yeah, that shot barely struck. And it sounded like John Fanta was going to fall out of his chair. He found that very, very funny. I like the ball rep interviews, but can you imagine what the average person watching thinks when they hear a guy say that the ball wiggles down lane? Just think about that for a minute. Shouts a little man in the crowd with the Johnson jersey on, with the backwards hat. I see you, young bull. I'm sorry things didn't go your way, but I see you.
That's AJ's nephew.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah. And I talked already about the longer timeouts. Let's see the longer timeouts, please. Let's make that happen. More fanfare during the timeouts. I want a mascot to come out and dance on the lanes while music players during the timeout.
Because you know why I don't want that, Mike? Because the PBA will find a way to make it completely and utterly cheesy and corny instead of making it cool. You want it to be cool, and you want it to be like a halftime of like a basketball game, right? And maybe some, but the knowing the PBA, they'll put on the chicken dance, and they'll have everybody in the crowd doing the funky chicken dance,
or something.
The hokey pokey. They'll be doing the YMCA, and they'll convert to the freaking. It's like, dude, like I don't trust the PBA to be something and make that cool.
Robert Hamilton in the chat saying Chapman, SLS, and brother all roommates. Yeah, we know. I wasn't really referring to them. I was referring to Richie Teese, Dio Bernard. You know, there were just a couple random guys in the crowd. I was like, I wonder why they're there.
What's up, Alex? Alex was like, they should bring out Penny. Just hopefully he relieves himself before the show. Because could you imagine the halftime?
He should bring his box of poop with him and hand out poop things to everybody.
During the time, I'd actually get on the lanes with the box and take a poop on the approach. Could you?
Oh, my goodness.
Right, we're off the rails now,
officially. All right, let's get back on. So, all right, that wraps up our coverage of the PBA Illinois Open. Okay. Rob, one more thing. Yeah, I made some money too. I had Kent and AJ Johnson in the final. I would have preferred that AJ win because it was a much bigger win for me, but it was all right. I made a 3-digit number betting this weekend on bowling.
I did all right.
So as we transition our talk into the tournament this week, just one bit of news that I want to throw out there that I'm not sure many people saw or are aware of, but Jeff Rickles on his site, he reported, I think yesterday, or maybe I read it today. I think I'm pretty sure it was yesterday.
Yesterday, that, 13th.
Yeah, that on one of the broadcasts this week, Tom Clark gave some details about the tour trials, okay, and what the tour is going to look like for next year. Rob, do you have it pulled up to get into the details on that? Or
I do, and this is nothing is in cement right now.
Right,
this is. I won't say speculation because Tom Clark is the one who talked about it, but nothing has been permanently sent out. The key details were that the top 43 in the 2024 PBA Tour points and 12 from the Reborn Tour trials will have a priority entry in 2025. So what that means is, will be ramifications of going through tour trials and making it is what Tom Clark has been, quoted saying in the last few months. So the ramification is that the 2025 PBA tour for the 55 players. So I'll say that again, the 43 players at the points this year and the 12 that make it through tour trials, will have exception of a priority entry, meaning they won't pay an entry. And the entries per tournament averages, I think, about $500 per tournament. This is only for the PBA tournaments. It excludes any of the USBC BPA operated US Open and USBC Masters. So essentially, the 55 players would be saving about $500 per tournament average, probably around the player bowls. I think the tournament is about usually 16 to 20 tournaments is what I've seen, at least last year. You know, $500 a tournament, I mean, starts adding up into, like, you would imagine the savings of like around $8,000 to $10,000, like, for the entry fees, right? And it, the prize, it won't affect the prize money, because the prize money will be covered by Bowlero and the sponsors. And, you know, they'll have a PBA tour trials, with which you determine the 12 players, which would be held in the middle of the end of August in Chicago, right? Across four bowling centers. The tour trials would be open to all full-time PBA members. And the 2024 PBA tour players ranked 44 to 100 points can enter, with others able. So there's like, they're given priority to the essentially the 44 to 100 points that could enter starting in May 6th. And then others would be able to enter starting June 3rd. The tour trial entry would be $1,000. The one thing that was interesting was they said that the field will feature a maximum of 90 players, Mike, which is be one squad of five per pair with 90 players. So they're only limiting the tour trials to 90 players, which I found very interesting, actually. I would imagine they would want more, right? But, I mean, that's what it is. And then, yeah, the priority of order for the 80 to 90 roster spots would be you know, the players were 44 to 100 without a tour title in the past 10 years, the top 10 in each PBA region in points from 2023, the top 25 players in single rankings exiting college for PBA membership, and new international players, and spots 11 to 25 in each PBA region in 2023. That's the gist of it. If you want to read the more details of the days and the dates and whatever, you can subscribe to JeffRiggles11frame.com. He gives a lot of additional detail on this story, which right now is so much speculation. It's not cemented, but I mean, you could pretty much argue that is pretty much set in stone. They just haven't really sent the press a media release out for it yet. So I hope that was a good rundown of what it was going on, I guess.
Yeah, and I found that interesting, you know, especially the piece there, Rob, about the players from the points list and the tour trials not having to pay an entry fee. You know, and I know it's not a windfall, right? Let's not be crazy here, but I like that. I really like that. I think that's a nice step in the right direction. You know, I think you're putting some money back in the pockets of the players. I think that, you know, it probably comes from a place of Bowlero and or the sponsors covering those costs, right? You know, which for one player don't seem like a windfall. But when you talk about, you know, doing it for 50-plus players every week and covering that amount, you know, that could be a significant amount of money over the course of a season. So I'm glad to see that. I'm happy to see that. I think it definitely provides some extra incentive for the players to want to qualify and people who are bowling tour trials who want to qualify into that top 50 plus number of players who are going to be eligible for that. And you know, so Mike, I hope things continue to trend in that direction.
So I guess my question would be is if you have 55 now exempt players, and obviously you'll run a PTQ, right? I would imagine, right, for the rest of the players who are looking to bowl. Are those all those players, are they guaranteed checks when they bowl the tournaments? I didn't remember reading any of that. So, like, yeah, they're not paying an entry.
Probably right? Not. But
no.
No. No, okay. I would imagine it's gonna work like it does now, where in every event there's going to be some people that cash and some people that don't.
Okay. I'm just
curious. But at least you're not – I mean, you're minus for the week with expenses – but at least you're not an additional minus 500 for the week because you paid to enter the tournament.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Sure. Yeah. I, you know, read the article this morning. I'm still, I guess, comprehending it before I can make an opinion if I like it. I mean, obviously it's good for the players, right? And anything that's better, it's good for the players that helps them.
Good. It's good for some players. It's good for some players. I mean, We have a comment from Emerald Sin here. You know, going to have some names drop out with that system. I would tend to agree with that. You know, you're probably going to see some, you know, more changes to the composition and the makeup of the players on tour this year than you have in past years, given this new system.
Mike, I do think that announcement puts a ton more pressure on the players bowling right now that are in the 30s to 40 ranked, right? That may, you know, have been used to being on tour their whole career, right? Where their last 10 years, I don't know, whenever the last exemption went away. And now they're essentially threatening their career if they finish in 44th or 45th, right? And then have to bowl tour trials. And nobody wants to get to the tour trials. So I think the one thing to really look for here is the last tournament of the year. There's going to be a lot of drama on the who gets that 43rd spot and who doesn't and who has to go through tour trials.
Agreed. Okay. Going into this week, Rob, if you want to talk bets for a quick minute here.
I bet the lefties and I'm ready. I got them. I got Graham Fa. I got Swenson. Okay. I got great odds, too. Dude, I got Fa at plus 3,500 or something like that.
Okay.
I got Svensson at like plus 15 or plus 1700. I bet all the lefties. Buttriff, I bet. Russo. I mean, okay. I went strategy and I went in. I wasn't betting huge amounts of money, right? But, you know, 5 here, 8 here, 7 here, right? Trying to 2 there, 3 there. I bet Spencer Robarz, like, who has huge odds, right? I'm looking for him to one tournament to bust out and make a show. I'm trying to get on that odds. So yeah, that's kind of my bets.
All right. I'll be honest. I only took 3 bets here at the beginning of the week. And I wasn't
getting Bill.
No, I was looking more for odds. I did throw money on Bill because I always throw money on Bill. And I put 10, he was only 8-1. And I put $10 on him.
I know. The odds are getting less and less every tournament for Bill.
Yeah, which is a good thing. I'm happy to see that. But I'll still continue to throw money on him.
Good odds.
So there were only 2 guys. And I'll be honest, I wasn't really thinking about the lefty aspect. And it was because it was a long pattern. And I wasn't really focused on that, right? And that was probably a mistake on my part. I think, you know, the lefty seemed to have the look here. And if I remember, didn't Kevin Williams finish second? Didn't he win here last year or finish second here last year?
No, Cooley won.
Okay.
I think Cooley won, but I looked at the standings. So I do a little bit of research before I bet. And I want to see who had success in that bowling center if they bowled the year before. I'm not looking at pattern. I think the lane tendencies and the house tendencies take over regardless of what pattern they put out. And I saw a lot of the lefties had success last year. I believe Buttriff had some success. You know, you can kind of go through it. Aaron Rose asked me if I bet on Simonelli. I didn't. I thought about it, to be honest with you. I thought about it. I didn't.
Aaron but I gets bet on the show.
To me, if I was to pick my bet of the year this week, it would have been Svensson. That was my bet of the year on Svensson. They were getting plus 15 or plus 1700. And Fob had a great, he's been having a great year, Mike. He really has been. I've seen him up in the standings and I put money on him and I saw those odds. And I'm like thinking to myself, like, these are the type of players that like Bet Rivers doesn't really like, you know, they're not going to give them really great odds. Like good odds, meaning like they're going to Fob would be like over plus 3,000, right? Or plus 3,500 or something like that. So I put Foss, Svensson, Buttriff, because I'm waiting for Buttriff to kind of break out. And I think he's starting to struggle a little bit too. So
you went lefty heavy. I went high odds on these two players that I both feel have an advantage on a longer pattern. And that was Keiko. Mm-hmm. I got at 60 plus 6,600. So I bet 5 on him to win 335 and same odds for Sean Maldonado plus 7,000, $5 to win 355. So a little bit higher there. And I took Sean Maldonado because again, to me, he's a guy who, you know, wouldn't surprise me at all. Make a run. I mean, he started today 140 actually, which I found hilarious because I bet on him and then he shoots 140. But I also took a bet tonight of, I took a parlay because I had $10 in my account after the Super Bowl because 2 of my bets got voided because a player that I picked for a anytime touchdown never, I don't think, played or wasn't on the active roster or something. So they gave me my Great 10 bet, bucks Mike. Back. Yeah, Great I know. Bet. No, it was something I heard on a podcast. It was Sky Moore. Sky Moore for the first TD, and then a Sky Moore Kyle Jerusek.
What are you touchdown. Betting out there? What are you betting out there? Okay.
I was it's from the Green Light podcast. Okay.
They should probably be the Red Light podcast after that.
I threw 10 bucks on this for tonight. I took three people in the player versus player. I parlayed it. I got Stu Williams over Barnes for this block, qualifying round two. Okay. I got Sam Cooley over Darren Tang, and I got Packy over Dom Barrett. If all three of those win, I'll turn the 10 into 60. So
I'm looking at the scores right now. Zach Wilkins is in first, took over lead, by the way. Graham Foss in second, Sterner's in third, Archer's in fourth, BJ Moore's in fifth, Simo's in sixth, Jesper's in seventh, Bill's in eighth, Matt Russo's in ninth, and Tommy's in 10th. Packy's in 12th. The lefties are starting to bowl. Butchriff's in 14th. I have Butchriff. I have Packy. I have Russo. Spencer. Nice. I have all of them at good odds, too. Okay. So
I feel like we touched on this, and you know, I'll just go briefly. Yeah, I didn't mean to do the longer piece of this conversation earlier, but we kind of just kind of played out that way. So I'll leave it at this. I hate the format this week.
Sucks.
Okay, I think it stinks. I don't even know if I'm going to watch, to be quite frank with you, because it's just endless qualifying, you know, and it's not exciting to me.
Especially when you got a taste of what could be last week.
I know. And I know Bet Rivers will be creative in what they give us to bet on in these blocks.
Yeah.
And that's cool. But at the same time, it pales in comparison to be able to bet on the best of seven with the spreads on the matches and the over-unders for how many games it's going to go.
Well, here's another reason why the betting is harder on this format. Because if you bet like you did, Stu Williams, let's just say, over Barnes, and they're bowling on completely different pairs,
right?
You can't watch them both at the same time. You have to jump back and forth or set up two screens or whatever. I mean, the good thing about the best of seven is you put one game or one bet and you get to bowl. You get to see both of your players, one that you bet against and one that you bet for, bowling against each other on the same like stream pair. So there's a lot of other logistics that make it better when you're betting on best of seven instead of the way they're doing it.
Yeah, and I think it also made a better broadcast on Bowl TV. It's something I didn't say earlier, you know, where they were able to bounce around to the better matches. And if a game was not close over here, they were going to a match over here where it was
100%. Absolutely.
That was correct. Awesome, right? Like 100%. That was definitely a better viewing experience.
Yeah, Dougie Vision is like, it's a long ass sweeper.
Yeah, it's like a 20 some game marathon.
It is
to the stepladder, right? So right. Yeah, okay. So Dougie, I said my piece.
Dougie knows the benefit of having matches. I mean, he films it. He knows the entertainment of match play. If anybody knows it, he knows it better than any of us. You know what I mean? That's what Dougie Vision was born out of. No,
like
entertaining matches.
If they put me in charge, okay, one of the first people I would call
is Dougie. Yeah,
one of my first five phone calls would be to Dougie and say, "We need you over here. I don't know how we're going to use you just yet, but we need you over here. Definitely in a commentary perspective. I want Dougie doing the ball rep interviews. I want Dougie interviewing the players in between games and their matches. Okay, this is the kind of content that people need." Associated with the PBA, but enough nonsense for me. Nonetheless, Rob, TV show 4 p.m. Saturday, FS1.
Right? Yeah,
I will be locked into that. 100%. I will be watching. I will be betting. I will be trying to make some more money this week. It's so hard for me to lay off those 9.5 spreads. It's ridiculous. It's so hard for me to lay off those 9.5 spreads, but. Even though I'm not a fan of the format leading up, and I know the goat of goats disagrees with me, respect that. You know, I'd much rather watch something a little more entertaining, so I'll leave it at that. But all right, Rob, let's wrap it up for the people.
Yeah, sure. Let's do it. Let me. You wasn't ready for it. Hold on. I'm struggling today on the production mic. There we are. All right, Mike, you go ahead. I feel like I've been going ahead first on the worst of the week for a while, so I'm going to let you – I'm going to pass this to you.
All right. My worst of the week this week comes from Instagram, actually.
Ooh. Okay. Okay.
And you know like how when you search for something on Instagram, when you hit the little magnifying glass to search, it suggests all types of videos for you to watch, okay? Well, I sometimes get lost in those videos.
Yeah, right? Of course. And you go down the wormhole. Everyone does it.
Yeah, and then it, you know, it knows you, so it makes suggestions to you about the videos, right? It suggests 100%. Things you want to
see. The algorithm, Mike, the algorithm.
So what does it suggest to me? The algorithm suggests bowling videos, right?
Bowling.
So I bring up one the other day, and it's a video by 7R period Balakay. Balakay.
I love how you gotta spell it. Okay.
That's the Instagram name. Okay. 7R Balakay.
Okay.
All right. And it's a video of this guy bowling. He throws it in such a manner that his arm looks like it's going to snap off when he throws the bowling ball. Okay.
Oh, that's good.
And it's a video of him, and he's only striking. And he's playing, what song was playing? He's playing a song called Check This Out by Key Glock. Okay? This Out by Key Glock. Very, very hard song. And his caption is, "You know what I'm about." With a fire emoji and a bowling ball emoji. Okay? He tags Storm Bowling, 900 Global, 900 Global Bowling, Storm Nation, okay? And I look up at the final, like it was like a couple shots, right, that he was putting up. And I look up, and he's shooting like 2-team.
That's great.
Come on, bro.
That's Instagram, fan.
You know Everyone's... what I'm about. If you're gonna say you know what I'm about, You better be about more than 2-team on the easy too. So just be aware. And my man, do something about that arm swing. You guys need to go look that up. You know, I'm gonna give that to you again. I'm gonna give that to the people again, just in case they didn't catch it the first time. 7R.Balakay. Balakay.
Go fire, bro. It's fire. All right, Mike, my worst of the week, and I'm going to show this. I'm going to share my screen. My worst of the week is going to the PBA Tour social media account. Okay. And here's my why I'm giving them the worst of the week. Because we're trying to make bowling like cool, right? And we're trying to make it more appealing to the younger crowd, right? Portland, Maine, they're trying to like, you know, direct a lot of the new to get new people, new youth, right? Mike, if I was an 18 or 19 or 21 year old and I was going through my social media and I came across the PBA putting this up, okay, of here's our pro who's leading, okay, and they do a shoot of him like a new there's a new sheriff in town, Mike. Look at this, Mike. Look at this. What in the world are they doing? I would be like, what? This is terrible. Look at this. What
I gotta be honest though. I think this is part of his vibe. I do. Mike, like I think this might be his actual vibe.
Mike, I gotta.
Am I wrong about that? I don't think he's joking around. He wears cowboy boots out in public. I've seen him before.
But if I'm Marshall, like, oh, I don't. Yeah, that's your vibe. But this, look, this isn't going to be appealing, Mike. This isn't going to be appealing.
Well, it might not
this
be
isn't
to you,
cool,
but like,
Mike.
But like, listen, there's dating sites out there for like farmers only. You know what I'm saying? So like, what might not be appealing to you might be appealing to somebody else.
Mike, but that's not appealing to the younger, like, that's not making bowling cool by any means, okay?
I mean, some people believe in save a horse, ride a cowboy.
It just came off as is just corny as hell, is kind of what it came out to.
I don't know. Country music's very popular today.
Like shooting the guns with a cowboy hat? Come on, man.
I don't know,
like,
man. Country music very popular today. What do you want me to say? You know, it ain't my thing. You will never catch me in a pair of shit kickers and a 10-gallon hat.
I'm going to, you laugh at that, but I'm actually going to a country bar Saturday night for a birthday party. So
you ought to email Marshall or DM him and be like, bro, where can I get some swag like you, dog? Where's the hat and boots at?
I'm not coming down on Marshall for being who he is and doing that. I'm coming down to the PBA social media for putting this corny, cheesy photo op of him with his cowboy hat on doing this. Like,
well, what are they supposed to say? Take the cowboy hat off?
No, they're not supposed to do anything.
My man wants to rock the cowboy hat.
Don't do anything. Don't even put a photo op. Why did they have to do that? I just still don't understand. Okay. Anyway.
While you were doing that, I went to 7R Balakay's Instagram, and he's got
you're still on that.
He's got mad bowling videos. But can I just show the people what I'm talking about here? This is the video that I saw on Instagram. Just watch.
He walked away from it too. Oh, watch. He nutted that one. Hold on, wait, let it.
Oh my god! Yeah. Oh my god! Did you see? Did you all? Like no. What? Did you all see that? Oh my god! Oh my good! He turned. Yeah, that's the one. That's the one.
It's
turned
fire,
around. Man. He turns around on it. Right. He turns around on it. Oh my god! Oh my goodness gracious!
Yeah.
Oof.
All right, Mike. You ready to wrap this up?
Let's do it. All right, I'm gonna log off and go indulge in some degenerateness and follow my bets here. See if I can hit my parlay and give myself a little bankroll for the rest of the weekend with betting on bowling, including the show on Saturday again, 4 p.m. FS1. So check it out, everybody. Be on there. Okay, that's my final thought. Rob, you got anything for the people?
Yeah, my final thought is actually, Nico stole my final thought. They cut off alcohol at the Waste Management Open on Saturday. And my comments to the Waste Management group is, come on, guys, let them cook. Like, those guys want it. But the funniest thing, if anybody hasn't seen this yet, and this is not bowling related, but Shooter McGavin has a Twitter account, okay? The Happy Gilmore. Like, it's a parody account, obviously. And all he kept taking of videos of the golfers yelling at the people in the crowd like Shooter would, and he was yelling like, go back to your shanties, people. And all I could think about is, like, imagine if bowling had hundreds of thousands of people, like, and it's a huge fraternity party, Mike. It's mostly ASU people come from out of town just to drink. I have friends going there saying, like, I don't even know there's a golf tournament going on. I'm just like, little Lord. But my final thoughts is I've got a little bit on Twitter about it, but the Waste Management's not even close to Portland, Maine, Mike. I mean, you saw some of the videos. Like, it is not even close. And I'm not saying I want bowling to be on that, like, drunken debacle, but it is a fun event to go to as a fan. It is entertaining. There's a DJ. There's, like, a lot of money getting thrown at these VIP booths. It's a big event, a huge money maker for the area. A lot of money. So anyway, my final thought is Waste Management. Maybe bowling needs to jump on the Waste Management and, you know, hopefully not cut off the alcohol at 2 p.m.
No doubt at Bayside, I think the vibe is more weed-based than it is alcohol-based at Bayside. Yeah. I think that's why you don't – You see more of the creativeness than you do the out of controlness at Bayside. You know, that people in the costumes and whatnot just getting crazy with it.
A lot of selling chips and munchy type food, but
no doubt. Well, all right, listen, we appreciate everybody joining us tonight on Valentine's Day. Happy Valentine's Day to everybody. Catch us on social media. We're usually on X. He's at Brooklyn Rob 11. I'm at the 215th. We got a show on Saturday. We'll be tweeting during the show and gambling on the show, etc. The bowling show is on Saturday. Our next show is likely to be Sunday, right?
Bowling show is on Sunday.
You sure about that?
I'm pretty sure. It's Sunday afternoon.
Somebody verify this. Hold on. I got to see.
Sunday afternoon, Sunday
you're right, before. You're right. You're right. February 18th, 1 p.m. So what did I see Saturday at 4 p.m.?
It's not. They're not having league shows, are they?
Are there league shows this week?
No, I didn't see anything.
I didn't think there were either. All right, no. I don't know. I must have saw it wrong. Yeah. I thought, hold on. Can you just wait one minute? You know what? I can't even find the article of the preview here. Let me see. Hold on. Give me a second. I just want to double check. Friday, Sunday, 12 p.m. Okay. Yeah, I was wrong. All right. I had it wrong. I don't know where I saw that. All right. Show on Sunday.
What time is this show Sunday?
It says 12 p.m. and I think that's Central Time. So 1 p.m. Yeah. Eastern.
Yeah. So it's 10 a.m.
So it'll be early.
Really? Okay.
Okay. Our next show, Rob, I don't know. Maybe Sunday night. Or maybe Monday, something like that. You know, we'll figure it out. We'll let everybody know.
Yeah.
All right, but certainly not too long after this show, after the show broadcast. So we will catch up with everybody on our rundown of the show shortly after it's over. Enjoy the show. Thanks for tuning in. And Rob will catch up with everybody.
Later, guys.
You are now listening to Sweep the Rack Podcast featuring Brooklyn Rob and Big Mike.